Art is a powerful thing. As I read a portion of scripture from the book of Exodus, there will be four different depictions of the scripture up on the screen using four different art forms. The first will be a fabric art form called molas. It's done by the Cunha women who live in the northeastern corner of Panama. It's a special type of embroidery typically done on clothing. The second piece of art is a painting done by Dr. He Qi, one of the leading Christian artists in the country of China. The third comes to us from the wonderful world of Lego. And the fourth is a quilt created by Laura Konowich, a master quilter from the state of Washington. Exodus chapter 1, verses 22 through chapter 2, verse 10. Then Pharaoh gave his order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she said. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." It's a well-known story, ultimately about the protection and provision of a mighty God who used a mother's love, a sister's dedication, and the compassion of a princess. We are now in the fourth week of our six-week series meant to take us deeper into our vision statement here at Edgebrook. And yes, I'm going to make you say it together. We're going to say it together. I know that there's visitors among us, so you will find our vision statement on the front of your bulletin cover. It's down at the bottom. You can say it along with us if you'd like. And, you know, the rest of you, if you need to cheat, that's okay. You can look. But here we go. Edgebrook Covenant Church's vision is that we be a people who are encountering a living God, creating a loving community, and participating in a compelling mission. Really good. We are getting that. Last week, Pastor Greg took us on a wonderful tour of the senses as he challenged us to think broadly about what it means to create a loving community. And although there's always room for improvement, this aspect of our vision statement, I feel, is like a little preaching. It's like preaching to the choir, because many of us here have experienced the incredible love that this community has already created. So in the spirit of Mother's Day and little Charlotte's baptism, because what a phenomenal example of creating a loving community when we surround a child and pledge our dedication and commitment to the nurturing of that child's faith. I want to celebrate some of the things that have gone on here and use them as an encouragement to continue in our efforts of creating a loving community that begins here and extends beyond these walls. And I want to use the story of baby Moses to help me. There are so many great aspects of this story, and so much of it is about the sacrificial love of three women in the life of a child. And it might seem especially appropriate on Mother's Day to talk about the sacrificial love of Moses' mother. But that's not where I'm going to focus today. Maybe the unwavering dedication of Moses' sister, and being a protective big sister myself, I love that aspect of the story. but perhaps another time. You could probably tell by the art I chose, but today we're going to focus on the princess. We don't know her name, just that she was the daughter of the Pharaoh who was so threatened by the increasing number and power of the Israelites in Egypt that he ordered all of the male Hebrew babies born to be killed by throwing them into the Nile. And you know the story. In a desperate attempt to save her son's life, Moses' mother fashions a floating basket, places her three-month-old into it, and sets it afloat into the Nile as the baby's sister diligently watches from afar. Now enter Pharaoh's daughter, the princess. I'm not sure I ever really paused enough at this part of the story before to consider what was going on here. Traditionally, this is where I get so enamored by the fact that baby Moses is saved by a princess. But then I feel sad for his biological mother because, you know, now he has a new mom. But then I feel a little bit happier because thanks to his sister, she gets to remain in his life to nurture and guide him as his nursemaid and gets paid a little something on the side. So it's easy, you know, it's been easy to, in the midst of that emotional roller coaster, to skip over what this decision to save this Hebrew baby may have meant for this princess. It says that she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to go get it. She opened it and saw the baby, and he was crying, and she felt sorry for him. So in essence, the princess allowed her compassion for this baby to propel her into some pretty dangerous territory. Her father, the most powerful man in the land, was determined to exterminate these very children. Remember, first, earlier on in the story, that he ordered the midwives to kill these babies when they were being born. And when that wasn't happening to the rate of his satisfaction, he sent out the troops. He ordered all the Egyptians to take these babies, to get rid of them. So you think it's going to go over well when his own daughter defies this edict? I can't imagine so. It probably would have been a lot smarter and much safer to push her emotions aside and give that basket a big heave-ho into the current and then forget about it. Or maybe to bring it to the attention of one of the guards, be a hero in her daddy's eyes. And we don't know exactly how it all played out, but we do know that this princess allowed compassion for a child that wasn't even hers, wasn't even her race. In fact, as far as her father was concerned, it was part of the enemy race. She allowed compassion to move her in an extraordinary way. And by doing so, Moses lives. Moses, who goes on to be used by God to be the great deliverer of Israel, lives. Have you ever allowed compassion for someone else to move you in an extraordinary way? Maybe even a dangerous way. I think of some of these World War II accounts of people putting their lives on the line for people, many of them children that they didn't even know. I think of the story of Irena Sendler, who was a Polish Catholic nurse who put her own life in great peril as she helped smuggle in an estimated 2,500 children out of the Warsaw Ghetto to avoid certain death by the Nazis. People moved by compassion in an extraordinary way. Or how about, have you ever let yourself be moved by compassion in an ordinary way? Maybe we should start there. Whether extraordinary or ordinary, it starts with how it started with the princess. Remember in verse 5, it says, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside her. She saw the basket among the reeds and then sent her female slave to go get it. She noticed something, and then she followed up by checking into it. Sometimes I wonder if it's really the compassion that's the real hurdle, or is it taking the time to notice what's going on around us? the God-given opportunities to act with compassion that are happening right under our noses, but we're too bogged down with the busyness of our stuff to notice. Have you ever walked into the grocery store talking on your phone, and as you breeze through, you realize you just passed a woman with a stroller struggling to get through to the set of doors right next to you? This exact scenario may or may not have happened to somebody that I know really well. In my defense, I just about broke my leg hurdling over the handrail to get at least to the second set of doors to open them for her, so I didn't feel completely heartless and self-absorbed. Are we allowing space for God to show us where His Spirit is moving in the extraordinary or ordinary moments of life, and then allowing ourselves to be moved by compassion and obedience to join in that movement? I have shared with you before, probably during a Mother's Day message, of the ordinary and extraordinary ways that women from my church growing up were moved to extend compassion to me, and how it made all the difference. Well, I can tell you on this Mother's Day that there are princesses among us. Lots of them. And like Pharaoh's daughter, these women in this church who have noticed children who are not their own and have allowed themselves to be moved by compassion to do extraordinary and ordinary things. And there are men too, but it's Mother's Day, so we're celebrating women. Listen to some of the stories I collected from many of you. And no, these stories aren't just about my kids. But there is a woman in this church who sends care packages to every child from this church who goes to camp. There is a woman in this church who found out one of the children in this church likes to draw, so she saves all the little scratch pads she gets in the mail to give to this child. There is a woman in this church who has never missed sending a birthday card to one of the children from this church. There is a woman in this church who will show up periodically at many of the sporting and school events of children of this church and has done this through the years. There is a woman from this church who, along with her husband, packed up their own children and moved to Africa for a year to serve children there. There is a woman from this church who saves small cereal boxes for a couple of children in this church because she knows that they like them as a special treat. There is a woman from this church who found out one of the children in this church was really into Barbies and gave that child a part of her own childhood Barbie collection. There is a woman from this church who spends her days teaching at-risk children in one of the roughest neighborhoods in Chicago. There is a woman from this church who took a child from this church for 8 weeks, took in this child for 8 weeks while his mother recuperated from an automobile accident. There is a woman, actually, I would not be surprised if there are several women from this church who pray daily for the children of this church. And I know that there are many more similar stories, and I encourage you to share them with each other often. Because these acts of compassion, whether they are seemingly small or monumental, can make all of the difference in the life of a child. When you make space for God to show you His movement, and then allow your compassion to move you in extraordinary and ordinary ways, you create a loving community in here that extends beyond these walls, and Moses lives. Amen.